What's up, TKO fans? Welcome back to another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's going on?
We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to recap UFC 292 and break down this Singapore card, Holloway versus the Korean Zombie. Let's do it. All right, so we got a new bantamweight champ.
God, I'm telling you, you shocked the world.
Yeah, no, that was quite the performance from Sean O'Malley. Super patient.
I have never been, like, this is one of those ones where I feel pretty happy that this little story got a nice little bow. Like, man, good for him. Just from the walkout to the intro to then even him winning, like, the way that he took it in and everything was just, you can't be mad at that.
You can't.
There's no way, because nobody else, like, would have taken that moment like that. Leon Edwards had a very similar one, you know, knocking out Usman and then just like walking away. Like, that's the kind of stuff where it's like you can't hate on that. He called a shot, you know, nailed it, and then just walks away, fucking like a hitman. I loved it.
Yeah, man, you can see in that celebration him just taking everything in, you know. I'm sure it felt surreal. You know, the whole week he was talking about how it felt like he was destined to win the belt this week, and now he just has to go in there and do it. And he got it done, man. I got to say, I'm very impressed by the performance. I was picking Aljo all the way last pod, you know, as soon as the fight got announced. When the fight was about to start on the walkout, I saw O'Malley's face and he looked so composed. And I saw Aljo's face and he looked shook, man. And I dropped some money on O'Malley by second round KO and to win under 1.5 right before the fight started at like 12:56 a.m. I got the slips to prove it. And I made like a quick $200 off of that because he just looked so goddamn focused. I was like, there's no way, bro. He's coming in there to take this guy's head. Like, and he did. It was awesome.
He's more such power a team, and like what I like about him is he always acknowledges his team. He's like, you know, this is a team effort. He went over, like, the first thing was celebrating with the boys. Like, that's when like the emotions started to kind of come out. So it was very awesome to see. Aljo just got clipped, man. Some people complain about early stoppage. I can see that, but at the same time, it's like you're getting hit over and over again. And Aljo plays that hand. Place his hands on the canvas game quite a bit, and I think that's exactly what he was kind of going for from that next transition from the hammer fist. So I'm glad that he got called on it. I'm glad that they stopped it, because that's exactly what he's going to try and like bob his head and maybe like save it when in any order kind of fight someone would just kick him straight in the head. So
yeah,
I'm glad that guy. I think it was a good stoppage. I can see people arguing it, but you know, it's about time that Aljo got caught in that transition. So I got no complaints.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought the stoppage was really good. I the way he fell was so bad. Like, when you fall face forward like that, like, that's, you know, that the guy's really out of it. And then the follow-up shots, O'Malley was, you know, I mean, I think he missed a couple, but he was landing a lot of heavy follow-up shots.
Well, and Aljo was going in full force and then, you know, O'Malley hit that right with some force, and there's so many, it's just, it is what it is, man. Aljo took the, and I will say he took the loss very, you know, pretty well, you know.
Yeah, he took the loss really well.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. It's just, you know, hey, he came out there and he did it.
Yeah, so. I like in his post fight press conference. It was a great post fight press conference Aljo had. He at first was like, yeah, you know, sometimes you get caught in their 4 ounce gloves, and he's like, well, I don't want to say I got caught, because it seems like I'm trying to take away from Sean. I made a huge mistake. He capitalized on it like he said that he would, and he's the champ now, you know. And yeah, it was just such a classy response. I wouldn't expect anything less from Aljo. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time.
My respect for him as a fighter and a person, like, has grown in his defeat, as a lot of guys do. So I mean, I'm happy. Although the question is, where do we go from here in the bantamweight division? Because Sean O'Malley has a lot of storylines going, you know, at the moment, if you will.
I mean, there's it's a you know, what's the word? Like, there's, it's like a cornucopia, you know? He's got so many decisions or choices to make right now. The UFC has a lot of decisions to make. They're obviously going to push O'Malley really hard now that he's the champion. As soon as the fight was over, they uploaded it directly to YouTube, which I've never seen them do. So you can see that they're making that huge push. And I think it's going to wear, I think it's going to work out. Yeah, you know, O'Malley's a natural star.
You and I were texting like right after, like the morning after this happened and everything, I think. And I was kind of floating my ideas. I think Chito is probably the likely candidate just because of the storyline. And it's a title defense that he should be able to dispatch in flashy fashion. You know what I mean? I think they're going to try and give him a couple ones because there's some stylistic nightmares out there for him. But that being said, he went against two stylistic nightmares in Aljamain Sterling and Peter Yan.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with him getting a fight that might be a bit of a gimme fight for him because he had a pretty tough climb to the top. So, but after that, I'm not sure where he goes. I think you're going to see Merab versus Cejudo. And then I think the winner of that is going to get O'Malley.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're trying. Aljamain's pushing for the rematch. I don't see the UFC giving it to him, honestly. They're pretty selective with these things, and all signs point to them not liking Aljo as a champion, so I don't think they're going to give him the rematch.
In the second round, it's hard to like get an immediate... Maybe if he wins another one, or you know, like after... I wouldn't say there isn't one, but you know, he does have a lot to reconsider. You know, does he go up to lightweight and try to get into that, or to 45? You know, I think if Volk moves up, you'll definitely see Aljo move up. But if Volk is staying there for a little bit, then you might see Aljo try to still fish around that bantamweight division.
I just don't think he has much more to prove at bantamweight or in the sport in general. I'm not upset if Aljo just fights like a top 10 guy and retires off of a win. But, you know, that being said, I'd love to see Merab fight for the belt. I mean, he's earned it, you know, more times over than anybody else. Cheeto's coming off a 1-win streak, so it doesn't sit well with me for him to get the title. And honestly, I kind of, you know, you're saying that it's a little bit of a gimme fight. I understand because it's striker versus striker, but I really do feel like Cheeto's a tough matchup for O'Malley. I mean, that first fight obviously went Cheeto's way, but just like stylistically, he doesn't get hurt. He doesn't show damage at all. Like, his face is made out of cement. I don't know how he doesn't get cut, like, in any fight. And he has really good leg kicks, really good pressure, and builds as the fight goes on. O'Malley also builds as the fight goes on, but we've seen him get a little tired in that third round. And I think if he goes to the fourth and fifth, I could see Cheeto really giving him some trouble. That being said, you know, Sanhagen gave Cheeto a lot of things to think about in their fight with the feints and the movement, and I definitely think that's something that O'Malley can build off of.
We can forget about Sanhagen, you know.
Yeah, Sanhagen, I mean, Sanhagen's right there too.
He's right there. Peter Yan's, he has a legitimate claim for a rematch.
Yeah, I mean, he's on like a 3-fight skid right now. He needs to win a couple first, but I mean, they should do Yan versus Song in the meantime.
That'd be a good fight.
And I'd like to see Sanhagen fight. If Merab's not going to fight for the belt, I'd like to see Sanhagen versus Merab, just to like clear up that. And the winner of that will get the title shot after, if they give it to Cheeto. If not, it should just be Merab.
I'm telling you, I feel like you're going to see Cejudo versus Merab, but
yeah, I mean, I feel like they're kind of pushing for that fight.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that as a title eliminator.
Merab is going to smoke him for sure. I mean, Merab's just going to keep winning. Like, until they give him the title shot, he's just going to keep winning. I think O'Malley can give him some trouble because he does have pretty poor defense on the feet. That being said, I could definitely see Merab drowning O'Malley in a really high-paced fight. There's a lot of good stuff to happen from this outcome, and I'm excited to see where the bantamweight division goes from here.
Well, that's a perfect... Speaking of drowning somebody, dude, Wei Li just absolutely murdered Lemos. So that should have been a mercy kill.
Yeah, if you're the corner, why don't you stop it? You know, like, I think they said the strike differential was like 293 to like 26 or something like that. It was crazy. It was a massacre. Like, the knockdown in the fourth or fifth round, I don't remember which one. Just, you know, the constant takedowns and pressure. I had money on Wei Li by submission, like I said in the podcast before, and there was several moments where it looked like she was going to get it. Lemos is just so tough. She stayed in there. But at a certain point, you know, you got to look out for the fighter's safety, and Wei Li is breaking records on her face, so it's kind of tough. Like, I don't know. I didn't think Lemos deserved the shot in the first place. I thought they should have gave it to Yan Xiaonan, and
but she
it just
also didn't deserve that.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah, yeah. It was rough, man. It was a beatdown. I'd love to see that China versus China showdown now for the strawweight belt. I think it's a great fight to make. I really think it's one of the most high level fights we can make in women's MMA history.
If they do that in China. I got my whole thing on China, but if they do that in China, it'd be huge.
Oh yeah, big time. And I mean, just like the matchup itself stylistically is so interesting. Yan Xiaonan is such a clean striker. Wei Li's obviously got such a well rounded game now. But I do believe that she leaves some defensive capabilities on the feet, like a little bit of sometimes she's a little slow to react on the feet, and I think Yan Xiaonan can really exploit that. We've seen her really improve her grappling, especially in that fight with Mackenzie Dern, and you know she was able to keep Jessica Andrade off. So I mean, I'd like at strawweight, I think the fights to make are Wei Li versus Yan Xiaonan and Suarez versus Dern. The winner of that fight, the Suarez versus Dern for the best grappler in the division, should fight the winner of the Chinese match.
Fighting somebody right now, I think she's fighting Andrade soon.
Oh, for real? Oh, geez, man.
Let me see.
What's going on? My poor girl. They're just sending her out to slaughter. This is horrible.
I said the exact same thing.
I guess she just needs the money. I mean, I heard that she had a really bad divorce with her ex-wife, and like she took a lot of stuff in the divorce. So, I mean, I think Andrade just needs the money. She's fighting on a great contract right now. You know, she's a former champion, has so many fights in the promotion. She's got to be making at least like $150,000 a fight, I'd imagine. So, I mean, I don't blame her for taking fights, but like, goddamn, bro, like, just give her a break. Like, for God's sakes, she's lost like four times in this year, like calendar year. I think she's lost four times.
Mackenzie Dern versus Jessica Andrade added to UFC 295.
Rough, bro.
In New York City, you might be able to catch that beatdown.
Oh, that's fire, dude. Yeah, she's lost three times in 2023, and now they're going to do another one. 295. That's in 2023 also, right? That's like November, I think. Yeah, that's fucked.
Hey, dude, she's trying to set records.
Yeah, that sucks, dude. I feel bad for her. But I mean, hey, I'm riding with Wei Li all the way. Honestly, I think she's a very dominant champion. She's going to be here for years to come. She's getting older. I mean, she's 34 right now. Pretty rich in fight years. She's had a long career, you know, started when she was like 22 or 23. Seems like she hasn't lost anything.
Yeah, it would be nice to see that China, like a China card with her and get her get like a nice big payday, because
yeah,
that would be a payday.
Yeah, for sure. There was a couple other fights to talk
Neil
about
Magny
on this card.
Fucked up, dude.
Yeah, Neil Magny got fucked up bad. Like that was they said that's the first 30-24 in UFC history. I thought Khabib got one, but yeah, like he it was just a beatdown. 10-8 rounds all around across the board. Wei Li picked up a couple 10-8s also against Lemos. Machado is, or Gary, he's the truth, man. There's no more denying him. Obviously a very studied fighter, and I think that's his biggest tool in there. And obviously his speed and his length are huge factors, but he seems to really know his opponents when he gets in there, and I really respect that. O'Malley also has that same experience in the octagon, that both guys really take the time to study their opponent and figure out their patterns, and I think that means a lot. You know, fight IQ goes a long way. Another fight that was awesome was the Mauro Bautista versus Damon Blackshear fight. I thought Blackshear won, but it was very close. Very good showing from bantamweights. Marlon Vera jabbed up Pedro Munhoz to the decision. I thought Munhoz won rounds one or two. Couple of the judges gave him 30-27. I understand the damage was a big factor, but Munhoz was landing a lot of volume. Either way, great fight. Brad Tavares smoked. Yeah, Chris Weidman, he needs to retire, dude. It was bad. Like, his leg was about to fall off halfway into the fight, and it's just like, I don't know. I don't want to see it anymore, you know? Gregor Rodriguez smoked Dennis Tallulah, and that was an easy call. The Ultimate Fighter finales happened. Kurt Hollebaugh looked amazing, and that was an awesome transition from the armbar to the triangle. It was really impressive. And Brad Katona and Cody Gibson put on, like, one of the best fights I've ever seen, especially for a tough finale. They were just going at it, dogfight for three rounds at like a torrid pace. It was a great fight, very exciting. Definitely want to rewatch it if you didn't catch it. Now the prelims, we saw some good stuff too. Andre Petroski versus Gerald Meerschaert, super close fight. I love the matchup. I thought it was very interesting dynamic. Natalia Silva looks like a complete monster against Andrea Lee. So fast on the feet, Natalia Silva. I'm excited to see where she goes. And then Karina Silva got that quick submission over Marina Moraes in the last second of the first round. It was a great card, honestly. I mean, not a lot of finishes, but a lot of questions answered. And there's a lot to learn from this card. A lot of prospects that look like they're going to be huge title contenders in the future. Mario Bautista, Ian Garry, Karina Silva, and Natalia Silva. There's a lot of great fighters to watch out for from that card. That being said, I'm really excited to see where those top two divisions go, the strawweight and bantamweight division, to, in my opinion, the best divisions for both men and women. There's a lot to unpack in those two divisions. There's a lot of talent at the top, and I'm excited to see how it all shakes out.
Bantamweight's definitely is one of the ones to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many goddamn good fighters at that weight class. Like, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Corey Sandhagen, you got Merab, you got Marlon Vera, you got Umar Nurmagomedov just like waiting in the wings also. There's a lot of really good fighters in that weight class.
And you have guys that are like willing to fight. I like that.
Yeah, 100%. These guys, nobody's afraid to fight each other. It's not like welterweight or lightweight. Yeah. But all right, yeah, there's a lot of cool fights on this next card. I'm excited to go through it. It's an early card. It starts at 8 a.m. Eastern. The main card starts at 8 a.m. Eastern. So, you know, you can get that morning coffee and watch some people punch each other in the face. It's a pretty good combo.
No better way to start your Saturday.
Yeah, I love it, honestly. I'm a huge fan of the early fight cards. Prelims start at 5 a.m. So if you're a dedicated fan, you'll be up for that. I don't know if I'm going to be up for that.
You're coming out of Singapore, too. You got to love it.
Yeah. So, you know, they're in Singapore. They stacked up this card with a lot of really good Chinese and Asian talent. I'm really excited to see how it all shakes out. But there's a few fights on this card I want to go through. Obviously, I think we should start with the the main event, Max Holloway versus the Korean Zombie.
We're finally getting it.
Yeah, a little late for me, you know. Holloway versus Korean Zombie. Korean Zombies looked like absolute dog shit these last couple of years, and this kind of just feels like a dream fight of his that they're giving him. Holloway is running out of people to beat up, so they gave him, you know, the guy that's always willing to get in there with anybody in the Korean Zombie. It just seems unnecessary. Obviously, I'm picking Holloway in this fight. He's a minus 850 favorite. He's probably going to get a finish. He's going to be so much faster than Zombie, even though he's not that fast himself anymore. There's still going to be a huge gulf in athleticism and speed and just timing and everything. I can see Holloway getting the finish fourth round, probably third, fourth round, knocking him out, or at least like, you know, maybe a corner stoppage that the Korean Zombie's like, yeah, I'm not built for this anymore. And, you know, retires on the stool. I hope this is the retirement fight for the Korean Zombie. I'd like to see him go out in somewhat of a hometown crowd in Singapore. I don't really have much more to say on this one.
I'm picking Korean Zombie by knockout.
You're crazy as hell. Yeah, I don't know, man.
No, but here's the thing. Like, if Holloway's a minus 800, there's not much value in it. There's more value in, like, saying, because, I mean, there's got to be a pretty decent prop on Holloway just getting knocked out, period. So, third on this one. I feel like that's, like, a very similar to, like, a draw one. I think it's coming. But, you know, you just don't know when it's going to come for Max Holloway.
Yeah, I get it. I do agree that, you know, Holloway is going to have his day sometime.
Put a fiver on the Korean Zombie to just go out there. The Tiger comes out one last time.
I don't know, man. It's not going to be easy. Like, it's a tough matchup. Even if they're prime versus prime, it's a very tough matchup. But they're not prime versus prime. One of them is they're both pretty far removed from their prime, but Korean Zombie especially so.
Okay, but here's my thing. If I'm Korean Zombie and you're my coach, what's our plan? Go out there and just try to fuck swing for the fences.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, it just might not work though. You know, Holloway's so good.
Hey, it's a go out and fire, man. If you're gonna retire too, like
bucket, we ball.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Speaking of, probably should retire Anthony Smith.
Yeah, smooth transition. 100%, dude. Another guy that it seems completely over the hill at this point.
When he has it and he's there and he's awake, it's like, you know, he's in there with some killers. But then there's just been too often where he just can't get going, and it doesn't seem like it's something from the opponent that's stopping him. It seems like it's just he can't get himself going in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, his last win was over Ryan Spann. They're doing this as a rematch. That was in 2021, and Smith has just looked very slow and very timid since then. Ryan Spann has improved a lot since that fight. I think that was his last loss. No, he lost to Nikita Krylov in his last fight. That's right. I forgot about that. That was crazy. But, you know, even still, it's the same matchup, man. It's just that Smith can't take a punch as well anymore, and he seems a lot slower. But Spann does still have that submission susceptibility to submission. So if Smith can get the fight down, if he can, you know, work that classic jujitsu that he has. I love his style of jujitsu, super methodical, you know, takes the position over the submission every time, and then we'll find a very slick submission in tight spaces with his triangles and his arm bars and his, you know, just in general, his back taking. If Smith can get that game to work, I could definitely see him submitting Spann again. But if he can't, then I can definitely see Spann just being the more athletic fighter and finishing him on the feet, or, you know, dropping him and, you know, just staying on top of him and wearing him down into a ground and pound finish or a decision victory. I'm going to go with Spann in this fight.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's too big of a gamble. If the Anthony Smith that is there to come and fight shows up, I'd probably give it back to Anthony Smith again. But it's just too big of a gamble. You know, I don't
think. Looked like that guy recently.
It happens, man. He's up there. He's up there in both years and fight years. You know, he's got 50-something fights on his record. I do hope he retires soon. He looks comfortable behind the desk, too, and it's not a knock on him as a fighter, but he looks comfortable behind the desk, you know, talking about analyzing. And, you know, I think maybe it's time for him to transition full-time to that.
I agree 100%. I think he's great in the analyst role. Same with Michael Chiesa. I don't think these guys need to be fighting anymore. I mean, they're probably getting good money on their contracts, but Chiesa and Smith both, I think, should just stick to the desk now. There's no point in going out there and taking more brain damage at this point in your career, you know? They're not going to make runs for a title. Couple other good fights on this card. Giga Chikadze is back after taking the beatdown of a lifetime against Calvin Kattar January last year, I think it was. Was it this year or last year? Yeah, last year. So he's had a year and a half off, which is I'm so fine with. I'm so okay with that because he got beat the fuck up in that fight. He came in that fight as a favorite, and you know that was after Kattar had gotten a year after Kattar got beat up by Holloway. Took that life-changing beat up from Holloway, and Kattar just, you know, was a complete dog against Chikadze and, you know, picked up that victory. It was an awesome comeback story for him career-wise.
Yeah, sometimes you need that in life, someone just to come in and just beat the fuck out of you for 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, if Chikadze learns from that fight, like how Kattar learned from that fight, from his fight with Holloway, he's going to smoke Alex Caceres. But honestly, I don't have faith in Chikadze. Like I never have. I don't know if we've ever covered him on the pod, but I really do feel like his biggest tool is his left body kick and his athleticism, and all that shit goes out of the water after one round. He gets so tired so quickly. I know he has that victory over Edson Barboza in the third round, but like that was a fight that Edson Barboza really played into his strengths. I don't see Alex Caceres playing into his strengths like that. Alex Caceres is a pretty well-rounded fighter. He likes to take what his opponent's giving to him and give him some shit back. He's also tough as nails. I mean, we've seen him get finished in the first round before against like Uriah Faber and Francisco Rivera. That was like years ago. But you know, since then he's really been on a great streak. This last couple of years he lost to Sadiq Youssef, who's a fucking monster, but besides that he's like, I think he's like 6-1 in his last 8 fights, or 7-1 in his last 8 fights. Dude's been putting up some really good performances, and I like him at underdog odds, man. I kind of feel like he's gonna get the second and third round here. I think he's gonna wear down Chikadze, unless Chikadze comes back from that victory or from that loss looking completely renewed. He is still 34. I mean, Caceres is no spring chicken either, and he has a ton of fight years, but I don't know. I like the way Caceres has looked these last couple performances, and I could see him picking up the victory here.
I'm probably just going to watch this one. I don't like, I have bad, bad track records with betting on people who come back from a beating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered in this fight, but I'm going to go with the activity on Caceres' side, and I think he's going to get it done. I think he'll win a decision here just based on volume and based on working hard. You know, the dude works so hard in there. There's some other good fights on this card. before we get into the fight that I'm most excited for on this fight card, I do want to talk about this bantamweight prospect.
Say, you know, he's this Nakamura dude.
He's a beast, bro. He's a really good wrestler in the bantamweight division. I believe he got like the world champion wrestling like medal over there in Japan. Let me see. Yeah, he got bronze in the 2018 Wrestling World Cup. Got gold in the World U23 Championship in 2017. The dude has some really good credentials on his wrestling resume, and he just seems so fucking good, dude. Like he's 7-0 in MMA. He had the knockout in his last fight in 33 seconds. Before that, another knockout, and he just seems like a monster, man. He's got a lot of submissions, a lot of knockouts on his record, mostly knockouts, but his wrestling is his true, you know, right to the cage. And I'm really excited to see how he develops as a fighter. I think they're giving him a gimme fight here against Fernie Garcia, who doesn't look that spectacular. And I expect this to be a really good showcase for this guy. This is going to be one to watch for years for sure. This is actually really interesting
because I've had a couple conversations with guys at our wrestling club, and we've been talking about wrestling gets brought up as like the most dominant style for wrestling, and you mainly see American guys with, you know, a folk style background. Like yeah. You have them do freestyle as well, but they tend to be like outside of like Henry Cejudo, who still was a 4-time state champion in folk style wrestling.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of cool to see how this high level freestyle wrestler, you know, transitions over and does well, because this is what, second UFC fight.
So yeah,
I'm gonna pay attention. I might drop a 5 on him just because he's a wrestler, but I think I'm gonna pay attention. I'm very interested to see how well he is. He's able to control people after he gets that takedown.
Yeah, I mean he's a huge favorite in this fight, but I think there's some good money on him to get an early finish. Most of his fights have ended in the first round, so I think I'm just gonna drop a little sum on him to win in the first round when the props drop. Yeah, let's get into the fight that I'm most excited for on this card.
I know the second you saw this, you're like, why the fuck isn't this the main event?
100%. Like, well, why are we putting Korean Zombie in a murder matchup at the main event for 5 rounds when we could get the women's flyweight number one contender fight there? Aaron Blanchfield versus Tyler Santos. I'm so excited for this fight. I can't wait. You know, we've been riding with Blanchfield a lot on this podcast ever since the inception of it. She's looked like a huge prospect in this division, and she's only come to fruition since then. Getting that victory over Jessica Andrade, I think that was her last time out. She, you know, completely dominated her, and that was Andrade's first loss on that little streak that she's been losing. So, you know, Andrade was coming off of that huge victory over Lauren Murphy at the time. It was a big victory, and Aaron Blanchfield completely shut her down. Yeah, I mean, that fight was super close to Shevchenko, and, you know, obviously Valentina lost the belt since then, but Tyler still looks like a very strong contender in this weight class. She's got great striking, huge power in her hands, and her ace in the hole is her black belt in jiu-jitsu that she used to win a lot of rounds off of Valentina. I personally thought she won that fight. I thought she won the first, second, and third. But yeah,
so I get why the main event is Korean Zombie, because he's probably, like you said, he's probably going to retire. But this should, at least, the fact that this is this low on the card is ridiculous. It should be at least the co-main.
Yeah, I would have loved to see this headline of Fight Night wherever in the world. I want to see this matchup play out for 5 rounds. That being said, we might not even see it go that long, but both girls are so tough. I do see this one going to decision. I'm really excited to see how it plays out, man. Aaron Blanchfield, for people who are not familiar, is a stellar grappler. Great wrestling, great jiu-jitsu on the ground, super patient there. And seems to be very strong. Yeah, super young in the division, and just very strong. You know, a physical fighter for sure. She's fighting Tyler Santos, who is also a very physical fighter, great grappler, big power in her hands. I think the big difference in this fight is Tyler's striking. I think she's got a little bit cleaner of striking on the feet than Blanchfield. That being said, Blanchfield can push the pace on Santos. Santos has shown some susceptibility in her cardio and her gas tank, and Blanchfield has absolutely no problem pushing a heavy pace for 5 rounds. So I wish that this fight was 5 rounds, because I think it plays more into Blanchfield's favor. But in a 3-round fight, she can still use that pace and pressure to wear down the gas tank of Tyler Santos and make her make some mistakes on the ground. If she does keep this fight on the feet, I think Santos has a very good chance of catching Blanchfield with something, or at least, you know, tagging her up. Especially coming off of that loss over Valentina, you got to imagine that was a huge feather in the cap for her. I'm sure she gained a lot of confidence from that, going, you know, neck and neck with the champ, the GOAT. So I'd imagine that Santos has been improving incredibly since that fight. She seems to be in great shape on her Instagram stuff. She's always working out. And, you know, obviously Blanchfield as well seems to be in great shape and is coming into her own at 125. I'm just really excited for this fight. I don't know who to pick. Honestly, I'm really not sure who to pick. They have Santos as a slight underdog at plus 125. I like those numbers. I love Blanchfield. I've been riding with her the whole time, and I do feel like she's going to be a champion one day. But this is the toughest fight in the weight class for her, and I do feel like the five rounds would have played into her favor a lot more. So I am kind of leaning towards Santos in this fight. Who do you have in this one?
I don't know, dude. It's an interesting one because exactly what you're saying, like the change from the 3 to 5 is like, it's a huge, I want to go with Blanchfield, like I said, because that's who we've been riding with. And I feel like that's who I'm going to go with because I feel like she's going to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
It's tough, man. I'm excited for this fight. I'm glad that I'm glad I'm going to wake up and be able to watch this.
Yeah, it should be on around like, I guess like 8 o'clock or 7:30 your time.
Dude, I'm about that. Like 8:30 I'm all time. About that.
Yeah, facts. I'm really excited for that fight. I'm gonna have my crusty eyes on it in the early morning for sure. Yeah, like I said, I feel like I'm leaning Santos just because of the underdog odds. I think the striking is a big factor. But Blanchfield has improved every fight she's been out there. She's absolutely fearless in the octagon, super cold-blooded, and I just don't see her being intimidated by anybody. I might side with Blanchfield. When we get to the betting slip, I'll make my decision. But
all right.
I definitely think it's a great fight, and I wish it was five rounds instead of three. A couple other fights I want to cover on this card, some good betting opportunities as well. Junior Toffa versus Parker Porter. Parker Porter has looked not great these last few fights. He's fighting Junior Toffa, the younger Toffa brother. I believe he got knocked out by the other one. Yeah, he got knocked out by the older brother in a minute, not that long ago. Porker. Porter has come off of a victory in his last fight over a guy that was a favorite for some reason. But I just feel like he's lost a step. I'm going to go with Junior Toffa here. He seems to be a very heavy hitter, and I think Porter's going to play into that game and get tagged. Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see two brothers knock out the same dude. I'm sure it's been done before by the Diaz brothers. I'm sure they've knocked out somebody, both of them. I guess Takanori Gomi, actually. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, they both finished him. But yeah, that's a pretty interesting fight. Another one that I'm super excited for on the prelims is Chidi and Jaquani versus Michelle Oleksaychuk. We've talked bang, about bang. Both these guys. Yeah, this is a good fight, man. I'm excited. Chidi bang bang coming back off of that loss over Albert Duraev, a fight that I thought he won personally on the damage. He's fighting Michelle Oleksaychuk, who has looked very fearless in the octagon. We talked about it with Aaron Blanchfield, but Oleksaychuk also, you know, comes out against a lot bigger dudes at light heavyweight. Now he has moved down to middleweight and has looked pretty solid since then. Good grappler, decent, like top game, pretty good pressure there. But his real bread and butter is with his striking. He's coming off a loss over Caio Baraglio, which absolutely no shame. We've talked about Baraglio before on this podcast. I think he's a future contender for sure.
We called that one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we picked Baraglio in that fight. I think we even got it exact on the second round submission, but I don't think the submission is going to be much of a factor in this fight. Both of these guys come out to bang, and I could see this fight, you know, ending in a finish on either side. And Jaquani, obviously, the Glory kickboxing experience, super fast starter, great in the first round, does tend to kind of tail off as the fight goes on. Oleksaychuk seems to be kind of cut from the same cloth. He has a lot of first round finishes. He has won some decisions in the UFC. He stays tough. He stays in there. But I don't know who to pick in this fight, honestly. I'm kind of siding.
I feel like the safe bet is just that it's probably not going to make it out of the second round.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I don't see this fight going the distance. I think if anything, it might be a second or third round finish for Oleksaychuk or a first round finish for Njiquani. It's been a while since.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's been a while since I've seen Oleg Saichuk get knocked out. I don't think I've ever seen him get knocked out, actually. So he has one on his record from early in his career. But, you know, he seems to have a very good chin and seems super tough in there. And Jaquani, a little bit more of a glass cannon. He's been finished before in Bellator. He got knocked out by Gregory Rodriguez and pretty much an exhausting performance. But, I mean, if anybody can knock you out, it's Chitty, Chitty Bang Bang, you know. So, I don't know. It's a very exciting fight. I am kind of siding on Oleg Saichuk, though. I do think the cardio is going to be a big factor here. But, you know, it's also the size is a big difference, too. Chitty is huge for the weight class. Oleg Saichuk is a little bit on the smaller side at 6 foot. I'm not sure. Do you have a pick in this fight?
Yeah, I do think you're going to see Chitty get it done in the first round. I think you're going to see him get the opening and just blitz him.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible.
Though, like, if he doesn't get it done in the first, I will immediately start siding with Olejczyk.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity for a live bet. I think Chitty can have a huge first round, and that and one that Olejczyk, you know, withstands the pressure and takes some big shots. And I can see Olejczyk coming back from that and winning the second and third round, or finishing him in the second or third round.
I do think, regardless, you're going to see a point in which you think that Chidi is about to finish him. Whether Olejczyk can, like, withstand that and make it to the second, third round, that'll be the question.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very interesting fight. I think it's going to be a barn burner for sure. A couple other fights I want to talk about. Rolando Bedoya is coming back against Song Kanon. That's a good fight. I got my eyes on Bedoya. He seems super tough. Peruvian boxer. And then in what seems to me to be a sanctioned murder, they're putting JJ Aldrich versus Liang Na. Liang Na is, without a doubt, I know I say this a lot. I understand, you know, you guys are probably tired of hearing me saying it, but I think Liang Na is one of the worst fighters I've ever seen in the UFC. She seems completely lost in there. She got knocked out by Silvana Gomez-Juarez at strawweight. Now she's moving up to flyweight in what I think is a futile attempt. And she's going to fight JJ Aldrich, who I've been super high on in the past. She has shown her age in these last couple of performances against Ariane Lipsky and against Erin Blanchfield. Two women that you should have no, you know, there's no shame in losing to those two. But if Aldrich has an inkling of herself, she should be able to punch Liang Na right in the face. She has a great jab, and I could see her hurting Liang Na and finishing her, probably getting a submission, but maybe just getting a knockout. First or second round, I'm going with JJ Aldrich by finishing this fight. I think first or second round for sure. Liang Na, she's not that guy, you know. So I'm going to be betting against her, and I'm going to go with Aldrich by finish. I'm sure you'll get good odds on it because it's been a while since she's finished somebody, but she does have that finishing ability. She's shown it before. Actually, now I'm looking at record. She has no finishes in the UFC, but if anybody can get a finish against if she can get a finish against anybody, it's Liang Na. So I'm going to go with Aldrich by finish. I'm sure it's probably going to be good odds at that if the record is like showing that.
She can't be that bad.
She's so bad, bro. Like, hey, you got to like watch her fights, dude. Like, she stands straight up. Her chin is straight up. She's skinny. She's not strong. She doesn't have any grappling, and she has bad striking defense. So it's just like, I don't know where, I don't know how she got here, but I don't think she's going to be here for much longer.
I'll tell you what, it's about time that the next wave of female wrestlers come in and just start taking over.
Yeah, I mean, Aldrich is a great wrestler, but seems like the forever prospect, you know? She's 30 years old, but she has a ton of fight years. So, I mean, I'd like to see her make a run to the top of this division, but with women like Erin Blanchfield and Tyler Santos sitting at the top, it's not going to be easy for her. But yeah, let's go down the betting slip for this fight card. There's a lot of really good picks on here. You want to put out yours first, Jordan?
Yeah, I think the meat of it, it's going to be Max Holloway, Ryan Spann, Nakamura, and Blanchfield winning. I might play with the method of victory, but I'll wrap that up in a round robin. But my underdog one would be putting 5 or 10 on the Korean Zombie to get a finish over Max Holloway. Just like I said, that's the only way I see this old line, you know, getting the win is going out there and just trying to swing for it. You never know, but there's just not too much juice in that play.
Yeah, I feel you. I like the picks. I'm gonna go Holloway by finish. I mean, probably gonna be a knockout, honestly. It's been a long time since he got a submission, but just in case he does go like a very what's the word, like,
respectful.
Yeah, and, you know, gives Korean Zombie a little bit more leeway. I could see him, you know, kind of just wrestling his way to a submission victory. I'm going to go with Ryan Spann, also by finish. Smith seems to have lost a step. I'm going to go with Caceres. I think he'll get the decision, but I'm just going to put money on him on the money line. I like the underdog odds. I'm going Rene Nakamura first round. I'm going... I'm gonna go with Blanchfield. I think she can do it. I think she can overwhelm Silas Santos. Santos is a little bit low activity sometimes, and Blanchfield likes to drown people. So I'm gonna go with Blanchfield. I'm gonna go with Tafa by knockout. I'm gonna go with Oleksaychuk money line, and I'm gonna go with JJ Aldrich. Get it done by a finish. Any type of finish, knockout or submission. Probably a submission, but. Yeah, either one I think is a possibility. I also have a little parlay on this card on the huge favorites. Holloway, Nakamura, Bedoya, and Aldrich. If you put them all together, you get plus 100. So, I mean, they're all like minus 500 and above. Four picks. I know it seems a little dicey, but I think they're all going to win. You know, in the one case that I'm a little bit worried about is Rolando Bedoya, but... I do think he's a step ahead of Song Kanaan. Song Kanaan has not looked fantastic in the octagon, and Bedoya is young in the game, and I think he's going to get this one done. I'm excited to see how it happens. You know, I'm excited for this fight card. It's going to be early as fuck, but I think there's a lot of good betting value on this card, and there's a lot of interesting fights. And, you know, besides the interesting fights, you know, the Chikadze versus Caceres, the Blanchfield versus Santos, and Jaquani versus Oleksaychuk. There's a lot of prospects on this card to watch out for that I think are going to be big mainstays in the UFC for a long time to come. Rolando Bedoya, Junior Tafa, Rinya Nakamura, especially that guy. He seems to be a monster. So I'm really excited to see how this fight card shakes out, and I think we're going to learn a lot from it.
And you might see the retiring of a legend.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we see the retiring of two in Smith and Zombie. Next week, we got Ciryl Gane versus Sergey Spivak in Paris. Super excited for that fight. Also on that card, Manon Fiorot versus Rose Namajunas. Rose Namajunas coming back from the stinker of eternity, the worst fight I've ever seen. And Benoit Saint-Denis versus Thiago Moises. I'm really excited for that one. I'm going to ride with Benoit Saint-Denis in that fight, but you know, we'll break that shit down next week. There's a lot of good fights on that card. Farid Bashirat's coming back. Nasrat Haqparast coming back. Volkan Ozdemir fighting as well. Yeah, dude. UFC, the stretch that we've got these next few weeks, pretty solid, man. I can't complain. You know, we've got some actually interesting fights. Gane versus Spivak. Adesanya versus Strickland.
Grasso versus Shevchenko.
I'm going with Grasso again. On that fight card, too, they got Kevin Holland versus Jack Della Maddalena. I'm super excited for that. Yasmin Lucindo versus Elise Reed. A lot of awesome fights to come down the stretch. I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Thank you guys so much for listening. Ride with your boys. We did pretty well last week. I think we're gonna do well this week too. There's some good fights on this card, and let's keep riding that TKO wave and making this money, dog. Take it easy. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Be safe out there. Peace.
Boom.